Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an extra episode of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Michael Timm's book, Consciousness Beyond Death, New and Old Light on Near-Death Experiences. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to read from chapter 10, which is titled, The Most Dynamic NDE You'll Ever Read About. This is what Michael has written. In her 1917 book, How I Know That the Dead Are Alive, Fanny Ruth Fenn Paget offers one of the most vivid and detailed near-death experiences ever recorded. While not clearly stating her illness, one might infer that Paget, a resident of Houston, Texas, suffered from severe pneumonia for several days during 1911. All about and above me I could see nothing, but fancy my astonishment if you can, when looking down I saw my body resting peacefully on the bed, representing what is commonly called a dead person, Paget recalled. I could not move my eyes from it. It fascinated me as it lay in the cold whiteness, robed in a gown of lavender silk with dainty laces and ruffles. The deep blue windows of the soul, the eyes, were at half-mast. The soul being absent, the light was gone. The lips, slightly parted, were a suggestion of a smile. The left hand rested lightly on the breast, the engagement ring scintillating as brightly as ever. The right, which no doubt had been lifted unconsciously at the shock of impact, had fallen a little apart from the body and lay palm upturned. How peaceful it looked! Thus every detail of the clay image fastened itself upon my consideration as I viewed it dispassionately, realizing that it was a cast-off garment for which I had no further use. However, I felt a protective kindness towards it. It had been a faithful servant, executing my every wish and whim, and now that I had passed beyond the range of its services, it pleased my fancy to robe it in the white, pearl-bedecked dress, the wearing of which had meant so much to me in quite a different way. Paget then concerned herself with her fiancé in another room, and found herself being propelled by a vibratory sensation to his sleeping body. As I looked upon him, I saw the shadow body more distinctly than the physical. Viewed from the other side of life, the shadow body seemed the original, and the physical the duplicate, the soul the real, the body the unreal. Within and interpenetrating all was a light, which I had not before perceived as being a part of the spiritual anatomy. This light penetrated from within both the shadow and physical bodies, maintaining through and about the body an aura or illumination which enveloped it, clothing it, as it were, in a magnetized illumination. How wonderful this three-in-one life manifestation seemed, especially when we generally recognize only the one, the physical. Moving closer to her fiancé, Paget attempted to converse with him, but he slept on, even though his soul, which was not sleeping, responded joyously and tried to help her penetrate his physical consciousness as he moaned and turned restlessly in his sleep. After a few moments he cried out, "Fanny, Fanny," and sat up in bed, wide awake. As he turned on the light and reached for his glasses and a magazine, she tried to communicate, but he did not react to her words. "I am dead, that is why he cannot hear and see me," she thought, further recalling that she felt more alive than she had ever felt. There was something pitiably painful about being so near to one beloved, seeing him plainly and hearing him distinctly, even knowing that he was thinking of me, and yet having him utterly ignore my presence, and above all knowing that he would never recognize me again, never hear my voice no matter how ardently I called him, while I was the same in every way minus the physical body. Then she perceived that her vibratory environment did not harmonize with his. Mine was the vibration of perpetual motion, his more like a dead sea, into which these vibratory currents ebbed and flowed, and it seemed such an easy matter to move out of the deadness into the ebb and flow that I waited and watched a long time before I realized he would make no effort to do so. Realizing that she would not be able to penetrate his physical consciousness, she bade him farewell and attempted to move on. However, the vibratory force seemed to restrain her. Persistently, the force held me, as though inviting me to further considerations of Earth interests, but I had none. My material possessions were disposed of as I desired. There was no life work I was leaving incomplete. I had no children, no one depending on me. Nothing held me to the Earth. My desire had been to go beyond it, and now that I had done so, I was well pleased and wanted to go on the joys I felt awaited me beyond the influence of Earth. Yet the force held me, try as I would to pass beyond it, until, instead of struggling against it, I tried to understand it, to wrest it from its reason for thus detaining me, feeling that there must be some reason for such a marked persistence. Almost instantly, the lesson sank into my consciousness, and I realized that the long arm of mundane interests can reach into the beyond and hold its victims within the shadow of Earth, pitting its magnetism against the promise of higher things. She then felt herself moving in an undulating way within the propelling vibration and was suddenly enveloped in oppressive, heavy darkness, feeling alone in eternity, awaiting in awesome uncertainty. She perceived that the darkness was really within her and could be eliminated only from within. There were loved ones and many others welcoming me and rejoicing that I was with them. Her spirit guide, who identified himself as Mion, was also there. She now felt light and carefree. Mion then told her to follow him. And with a soft, bluish light playing about and enveloping us, we floated out on the undulating waves of space. As they were propelled by vibratory waves, they encountered a red darkness, where she found herself among many others. I was listening, trying to hear what they were saying, but the vibrations were evidently not in harmony, so I could not hear distinctly, and after a long time of vain effort, I turned to Mion and asked, "What is this place?" Mion explained that they were in a place still very much within Earth's magnetism, or spiritual gravitation. Paget asked why the souls were detained there, and Mion informed her that some desire it, while others were not yet strong enough to progress beyond that point. Earth interests hold them, he explained. There was no bar to their going on, but they did not want to. Some did not know that they could not give up the Earth life, Paget related. In this dark, Earth-magnetized region, disembodied spirits live the mundane existence, much as the psychic lives the spiritual, yet while in the mundane, one in progression, the other in retrogression. Disembodied spirits living the mundane life do so at the expense of human beings in the Earth life, while the mundane person living the spiritual life is obeying the law of evolution and progression. Paget observes spirits of love and mercy attempting to help those souls stuck in this hellish realm, but most of them had not yet acquired spiritual hearing and did not respond to the offers of assistance. There were some, however, who heard and struggled up from the vortex. Mion informed her that no soul was irretrievably lost, no matter how many eons it may remain in the darkness. Paget began to wonder if this was to be her new abode, but Mion assured her that it was not. "Did not the Christ descend into this place before his ascension?" he addressed her concern. Far out beyond the red-fringed darkness, I could see the light, in which rainbows seemed to play, pale as the dawn, of a grey weird loveliness, coming and going as though flirting with the darkness, for to embrace it would be to destroy, she continued on. For delicate beauty, it seemed I had never seen anything more fascinating or alluring than this kiss of the dawn and the darkness in the soul world. It was like kissing death goodbye. They passed into what seemed to be another world. Paget called it the dawn world, since it seemed that the light began to neutralize the darkness. There were houses, flowers, trees, everything was so earth-like it amazed me. I almost fancied I had returned to Earth. Today I was reading from Michael Timm's book, Consciousness Beyond Death, New and Old Light on the Near-Death Experience. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.